This episode is sponsored by Drogba Studio. If you're a Salesforce ISV and you're thinking, should we even bet on the Salesforce ecosystem? Or our partner program exists, but it's not driving revenue. This is for you. Drogba Studio helps ISVs build a repeatable partner process. Clear partner profile, clear co-sell motion, clear messaging, and playbooks your alliances and marketing teams can run without chaos. It's led by Justin Edelstein, who spent 15 years running a Salesforce SI. So this is based on how SIs and AEs work in the real world. Learn more at drogbastudio.com. D-R-O-G-B-A studio.com. Welcome to Assembly Line, the podcast for entrepreneurs building on the Salesforce platform. We'll go behind the scenes with innovative founders and leaders to share their stories, strategies, and lessons to accelerate your own path to success as a Salesforce ISV. Are you looking to connect with the most dedicated founders and builders in the Salesforce ecosystem? The Assembly Line audience is made up of the exact ISV partners and entrepreneurs you're trying to reach. We're opening up a few sponsorship slots to partner with brands that can truly help our listeners succeed. If you're ready to connect with the leaders of the AppExchange, you can learn more at assemblyline.com/sponsor. That's assemblyline.com/sponsor. On this episode of AppSimiline, I'm joined by Kuldeep Hillier. Welcome to the show, Kuldeep.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining. I'm looking forward to getting into your background and the history of Kugemon. So maybe let's just start there. Could you share a little bit about how you got into the Salesforce space and then maybe touch on the Kugemon application, how you came up with it, you know, who it serves, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So basically, I guess you know how people say there's an accidental admin. I guess I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I had worked for some competing solutions back in the days. I originally worked for a company called Ariba, and we're building a subscription management tool process for Salesforce. I ended up joining this startup called Zuora, and they were building a subscription management application that would work with companies like Salesforce and others. And while I was working for them, it was pre-product, pre-revenue. I realized I needed to get paid. So I joined a company there's a company called Glovia. They're on the AppExchange from Fujitsu. And they built like an ERP app. So it allows you to create quotes and orders and vendor management and all that stuff. And I was their sales and marketing person. So I worked very closely with Salesforce to kind of get it going. And what I realized is that they were doing these impressive sales, but people weren't renewing because it was very clicky. Mm. And because of that, I was laid off. And luckily, all this time, I had saved some money. And so when I got laid off, I realized, you know what? I can do something similar to Zuora, something like Glovia, something where companies like Ariba would want to implement. And so I started Kugemon. It was really interesting because I got laid off. This was in 2009 on May 15th. And the very next day, I had to go visit my family in England. And they were like, hey, so how things are going? And I'm like, I got laid off yesterday. And they're like, well, don't be down, you know, enjoy your trip. So I ended up joining the trip. But when I flew back, I articulated the plan. And so that we would build a quote, order, invoice, payment processing. So it would be called quote to cash, completely native to Salesforce. And the company was started basically 6 weeks later, so on July 1st. And so that's the genesis of Kugemon.
Wow, what a whirlwind. Have you ever reached back out to Glovia to say thanks for helping me launch Kugemon?
Well, back in that June, I did reach out asking if I could buy the application because they understood like people would buy 500 users initially, but renew at five. Mm. And so they had a big adoption issue. It was very clicky. And I'm just a marketing guy. Like, I don't know how to code or anything about development. But you know, you're on a Salesforce opportunity. And if you have to make like 20 clicks to create a quote, you know, there is some difficulty there. I guess they thought of like, that's ridiculous. Like, you know, we just fired you. Like, what do you want to do? Like, But it's interesting that one of my coworkers from back then, Bong, he ended up starting a company called Cultura, and they're on the AppExchange, so they allow you to create quotes. And then I started talking to this guy named David Belove, and he ended up being the first customers for an app called Quote Quickly by Steelbrick. So very early on, I got to know the ecosystem. And my old boss back in the days was a guy named Kirk Crepe, and he ended up starting a company called Aptus. So I know Max Redman, I knew all the players in the space. And then, so that was July 1st of 2009. And then on, I believe, August 5th, Kugamon, our listing went live, our app went live. So I think we're the fastest app from company formation to be on the AppExchange. So I think Kugamon is literally the very first native quote-to-cash app on the AppExchange.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I love that you took that negative and turned it into a positive there with getting laid off. And then you said 6 weeks later, you had a company of your own.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And soon to be a competing and better product.
It took time. It took time. There's a lot of pure play applications at the time. So you had like Steelbrick Quote Quickly, you had the Big Machines, that app. You had on the payment processing, you had Linvio Payment Connect or Chargent. So you had a lot of like pure play applications, but you didn't have one that literally you could, from an opportunity, create a quote, create an order, create an invoice, and process a credit card. We were the very first on the AppExchange. On the billing, you had Invoice IT, Manoj, that ended up merging with Steelbrick. But we were the very first quote to cash app.
That's so cool. So you just rattled off all, you said you knew all the folks. You rattled off so many companies, many of which are still around today, and all, like Kugamon, have seen a lot of success, all built around this kind of quoting ecosystem. But it sounds like your main differentiator in the early days was that you were native. You were the first and only native solution to provide that quote to cash solution for Salesforce customers.
Yeah. So there are pure play applications, like this Invoice-it. There's a guy out of, Uruguay. He has that. Invoice-it was Manoj. And then there's Invoices for Salesforce, a guy out of Uruguay. You had the payment processing apps. And then you had the quoting app. So people could kind of stitch it together, because back then Salesforce didn't have a quote object. It was up until next year in 2010 did they finally introduce the quote object. But back then they didn't have a quote. So so we were the first, and business was great. It was, our relationship with Salesforce was fantastic. So Salesforce would bring us into a lot of deals. We were very fortunate. But then things started shifting after the acquisition and after the change to Lightning. Mm-hmm. So later on, fast forward a few years, when Salesforce introduced Lightning, that was kind of like an existential crisis. What do we need to do? Because building something on Visual Force and Apex, you can get, let's say, for, it would take like a week worth of effort. But in mm-hmm. Lightning, because it uses a different skill set, you need more front end, it would take 3 weeks. Mm. But Lightning gave you a better look and feel. So very fortunately, we had a launch customer, Arm, the chip maker. Arm Software, decided to help fund our development of a brand new Lightning look and feel. And so we took a clean sheet approach. We looked at all our competitors. We looked at what was working, what wasn't working. And I think we came out with a very compelling solution. And what was really interesting is that ARM chips, they went with PulseSource and implemented Salesforce CPQ for ARM chips, but ARMs, and it took like a couple years and stuff like that. But ARM Software, they sold subscription, they self-implemented Kugamon, and they were up and running within a few months.
Wow.
So we had one org with two different instances of CPQ solutions, but two different experiences. So
cool. And I want to clarify, I want to make sure I understood this right. So ARM software essentially almost like a professional services agreement contracted Kugemon to update your UI. Am I understanding that correctly?
No.
Oh, okay.
So we told ARM software. So at the time, we had our Lightning classic view of CPQ and subscription management and billing, and we told them, like, hey, there's this program called Lightning, and we gave them mockups of this is what we're thinking, because mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to buy something and then there's a shift and so forth. So we gave them a heads up of like, hey, this is what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And they ended up buying like a large user count, pre-purchasing basically a couple of years and paying up front. So that helped fund the development.
Oh, nice. Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
they're
nice
very
to get
generous.
The front-loaded
yeah.
revenue.
Yeah. And so we were very, very fortunate. And then they basically got early access. Mm-hmm. And so it was a global launch. A guy named Wes, he was the worldwide senior director of sales operations. And it was a global launch. It was like in Japan, England, and then that operations here in the Bay Area. And they're very happy. And from that success, we just continued and just filling in the functionality. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Now, you touched on a topic that I did want to get into and ask you about. And I can't remember if this would have been before or after Salesforce released Lightning. But obviously, Salesforce did acquire Steelbrick mm-hmm. for their Salesforce CPQ solution. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what that was like inside the halls of Kugemon at the time. I mean, I imagine that felt like an existential threat, but I'd be curious to know how you approached that.
So couple things came into play. First of all, there was a shift to Lightning, and then there's Steelbrick, the acquisition. Because Steelbrick had skinned their app with Salesforce Lightning components, so it looked very pretty. It looked different. Mm. It looked modern compared to ours. And what Steelbrick was a very powerful quoting tool. So we put all our effort on just looking at the entire flow. So quotes, orders, invoices, payment processing. And they focus a lot on all that effort on the quoting experience, which their tool was very, very impressive at that time. Like, you can create complex configurations and bundles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we started hearing stories about Steelbrick. So at the Dreamforce, we met some consulting partners, because I think, like, we weren't at that point, our relationship with Salesforce started becoming adversarial. So we were working, so Salesforce AEs would bring us into deals. Now they weren't. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't
because
really.
Because now they want to push CPQ for their quota retirement, right? So
because creating a quote and creating an order and closing this transaction is a natural extension of the opportunity. So if you spend all this time, you know, telling the customer, like, hey, you can use Salesforce for your lead management, for your pipeline. And so now you have this perfect add-on that allows them to, like, sell more ACV and so forth. So it made sense. And mm-hmm. Kugemon, even though we were contributing to the COA and they're getting quota relief, they were only getting 15% with us, but they get 100% selling Salesforce CPQ. And so at that point, we weren't really focused on them. We were just then heads down, you know, adding capabilities. But then we're at Dreamforce and these community events, we would then talk to consulting partners. And then we would hear stories. We were like, okay, like, you know, when a consulting partner is trying to do a customization, it's kind of like a black box. If they have an issue, Salesforce support was very adversarial. We'd hear that CPQ is really slow and complicated. And then we realized that with the training, you have to get CPQ certified, which is kind of ridiculous in the whole sense of it, is that there's a technology that's so complicated that you had to get this education, and that people are boastful that they got these certifications, when at the end of the day, it's like business software. So all that time they're learning Salesforce CPQ, they're not spending time with their friends and family and life. They're like, hold on, I got to like learn this business software, you know, because it's so arcane. So once we started realizing, because Salesforce marketing, you know, from a competitor point of view, it was like, this product is amazing. You can do all this, all these great sales, and it's all, you can get all this automation. And so when the consulting partners were telling us like, hey, it's not all that, you know, you guys like don't throw in the towel, like you guys have a good product, then that helped us. And so then what we did is we just went back and could just continue on focusing on everything that we found that CPQ was lacking. So we focus on subscription management, making it very easy to co-term, make it very easy to prorate. We then focus on the ownership experience. So from the admin, so like we created wizards and a lot of nice, pretty screens. So it's so that when they're going through and creating complex, everything is easy to them. We started creating a lot of automations and so through the process. So you didn't have to remember all these crazy, like, okay, well, trying to create a contract, I have to go to an opportunity and hit this checkbox. Like we looked at it from a clean sheet approach. Like, how can we naturally create a quote? Okay, that's the quote I want. How can I create an order? And so from that point of view, focusing on making Kugamon easy to implement, easy to administer, and easy to own. That was, and then also pretty, like making just a very pretty app from a clicking experience and so forth. That became then our differentiator. And so then we started actually winning deals where people like, okay, we actually spent all this money on CPQ. It was a failed input. Let's just go with Kugamon. And then now we're at a point where like, in the community, people will just recommend Kugamon. So we now know where we fit in the ecosystem.
Well, I think it's, first of all, congrats on making it through what I had imagined was a pretty tough time there. And I bet it's funny how things work out, because I don't know if it's officially sunset yet, but Salesforce CPQ is being sunset.
It is official. So it was in
March.
It
is official. It was in March. Okay.
Actually, it was actually 4 or 5 years ago. So 4 or 5 years ago, so this is what happened. So Salesforce bought Salesforce, the CPQ team. And then a year later, they acquire Velocity.
Yes.
And that becomes industry CPQ. And then, so now Salesforce has two CPQ teams. And then with the, and you know, everybody's jockeying for position. And then this is during the COVID part, you started hearing that Salesforce had these layoffs and they got rid of their expensive employees. And a lot of those were from the CPQ team, because after that point, there was no new functionality added to CPQ. So for the last 4 years, there's been no new functionality added. And if you go into the Trailblazer or Trailhead community, people would be complaining like, hey, like there's a new release, but there's nothing to CPQ. There's nothing new to CPQ. And Meredith, who runs the Revenue Cloud team, should go onto podcasts and comments saying like, no, we're going to be re-architecting it. And basically re-architecting was leveraging Velocity and rebuilding Velocity against the Salesforce standard quote object and going with a Velocity approach. And so when in December, in Dreamforce of 24, they announced Revenue Cloud Lifecycle Management, which was basically Velocity-based CPQ. Then in March of 25, they announced that there's no new sales. And then the Velocity-based Revenue Lifecycle Management was renamed to Revenue Cloud Advanced. Revenue Cloud Advanced. Now it's Agentic Force Revenue Cloud. It's got a new name, but That's all velocity based.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's just, it's funny, isn't it, that I'm glad you got the advice not to throw in the towel from those consulting partners, because they're right. I mean, even after an acquisition from Salesforce, Kugelmann ended up outliving Steelbrook. So I just think it's not every day that the Davids get a win over Goliath. So that's pretty cool.
It's actually very interesting. I've been doing this for 16 years, and I'm really like gung ho. I was talking to a consulting partner, and they're asking me tell me about the landscape, and I feel like this is a very fortunate time. So how many customers do you think Salesforce has? Would you say around 200,000 or so? Is that a fair number?
That sounds about right.
Okay. So Salesforce CPQ Steelbrick has about 7,000 customers around there. And I remember talking to Max Rudman, and he told me that they do about $1 billion in revenue. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he was very proud. Now there's only three companies that make a native CPQ tool for Salesforce. There's us. And so Kugelmann, we do end-to-end, so from quote to cash, native CPQ. But we're focused on the SMB mid-market, so basically 1 to 1,000 employees, and we start around $50 a user. Now there's Revenue Cloud Advanced, and that's more for the large enterprise because it's crazy complicated, and that's $200 a user. And wow. Then there's more, and there's like a legacy player called Apta, Conga CPQ, which is more of a rebadge of Apta CPQ. But that's more for platform edition because it doesn't support the Salesforce product object. And so they have their own item master. So it's basically, if you're looking for native, there's us, Kugelmann. So we're the SMB mid-market. And then there's Salesforce Revenue Cloud. And so those 7,000 CPQ customers, they're now getting renewal notices, and now they need to figure out where to go. And so we're actually are getting a lot of companies coming to us, and it's kind of like we just finished an implementation from another customer. They self-service the implementation. They were using Salesforce CPQ for such a long time, for many years, like over a decade. Wow. They went with Kugelmann. They self-implemented. They got Kugelmann up and running in 2 months, and the whole uninstall process of CPQ was like a couple of hours. So a decade's worth of customizations and all that stuff, they got rid of it in a couple hours, and they were able to, and this also includes data migration as well, like migrating their customers. So, cause we make it very easy. And so you have all that. So it's like a perfect storm. So we have all this support from the community, from Salesforce. Thank you indirectly by end of lifing CPQ, and then putting out a very expensive, very complicated replacement. And then the second one, big factor in this is AI. So with AI. If you use Salesforce as kind of like your database now, and you have all your quotes and orders and invoices and payments, and you can leverage an AI layer, so it could be Agentforce, it could be Salesforce MCP servers, or it can be like there's other players out there that provide AI functionality for Salesforce. Now you can like talk to Salesforce saying like, hey, can you update this opportunity? Can you create this contact? Can you create a quote? Can you move the start date of this order to next week? Because now all your data, and what that does is this AI trend basically made all the non-native CPQ tools irrelevant. So like the Deal Hubs, the Zuoras, the Subscribes, the Monetize Now. So all these non-native CPQ tools, there's no value proposition participating with Salesforce, because if you bought a non-native CPQ tool, you can't fully leverage AI for the entire RevOps experience. So It's just basically us and Salesforce.
Are you struggling to make sense of the Salesforce Security Review? It's the number one roadblock slowing down your AppExchange launch. Security Review Partner translates those complex reports into a simple, prioritized checklist. Stop deciphering jargon and start shipping faster. Get the clear, step-by-step guidance you need to pass the review with confidence. Simplify your path to market. Visit securityreviewpartner.com today. That's securityreviewpartner.com.
That is so cool. And so you mentioned that Kubamon right now is about $50 per user. I believe that Steelbrick-based CPQ
75.
Was 75. I'm curious when the acquisition, I don't know if they ever changed their pricing, but I think it was right around there from the get-go. I'm curious, did the acquisition affect y'all in terms of how you thought about Kubamon's pricing when they came out? I don't know what you were back then, if you were also at 50 or if you changed in response.
So Kubamon historically started at $35 a user. So over the years, we've increased our prices. And then when we had our subscription add-on, Kubamon was basically a discount code for CPQ. So we would find ourselves in deals. This is when there was during the Steelbrick times where Salesforce were like, oh, you're talking to Kubamon? Okay, well, they would sometimes give a Steelbrick for free and stuff like that.
To just undercut and get the initial sale.
Yeah.
Wow.
They would badmouth us, you know, like, oh, these guys are going under, they don't know anything, or that we're small, like meaning small is like we're incompetent. But by mentioning Kubamon, that was a discount code. It was fine. At the end of the day, our revenue still grew. Our customers are still loyal. We have hardly any churn. And we've been very fortunate to service our customers over the years. Now, what we're looking for is basically tackling those 7,000 Salesforce CPQ customers, but the other 193,000 Salesforce customers as well.
Yeah,
that there's still a clean a greenfield opportunity, because a lot of those companies had it custom, our developer built a pricing calculator. Now that person's moved on, or our business has shifted where we actually need a package application to do our RevOps.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a great, great story there. I mean, it's wild that, like you said, the AEs were originally helping bring you into deals, and so obviously they must have been propping you up, and then post acquisition suddenly they're talking out the other side of their mouth and saying how you're small and don't go with Kubamon because they're a fly by night operation. I do want to ask, so kind of jumping around a little bit here, but I did want to ask about, you mentioned how you were at that organization where you got laid off. They had a solution that could get like the initial sale, and then they had massive churn. I was curious how you knew back when you founded Kubamon, like how did you know that the business model and the industry wasn't the problem? Because I think a lot of individuals would look at that and say, okay, this is not, I don't want to rebuild this app because clearly it's an industry that has a ton of churn, as I saw in my last firm. How did you have the confidence and knowledge that, no, there was something off with either their sales team, their process, their app, or whatever? How did you know Kubamon would work?
So I focus on sales and marketing. And one of the value proposition was Salesforce was making it easy to manage your business, in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And they had extended the application where you can create these custom objects, and then they had launched the AppExchange and allowed you to package Visualforce pages. And so what I was seeing is that if you were to do this from a clean sheet approach, if you're starting a company and you need to manage your sales, a lot of companies may use Excel spreadsheets, or now Google Sheets, or Notion, or Airtable, stuff like that. And, Salesforce is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But once you found out that a company is using Salesforce, then you what if you take a step back, what that kind of tells you is that they're willing to pay for business applications. And so I found that participating in the Salesforce ecosystem, especially by being native, help bifurcate the market. And there's companies that are really cheap, so they don't really value business applications. They don't value IT spend and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's companies that do value, they do understand the rationale of, you know, I'm spending this money to manage my leads and my opportunities, my pipeline. Okay, I need to spend a little bit more money to now help close the deal. And so we became native to Salesforce, and I started Cougamon because Salesforce made it easy to identify businesses that are willing to pay for business software.
Yeah, that's cool. So, okay, that's how you decided that it was the right ecosystem, right platform to build on. You mentioned earlier, though, too, that you are more sales and marketing.
Yeah.
And you're not a developer. So back in those days, first off, correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say that Apex came out in 2008, I think. So, and 2009 maybe is when they launched AppExchange, somewhere around there. So it sounds like you were one of the you were very, very early on the AppExchange. I mean, you mentioned you're one that you're the first native CPQ. I think you're one of the first applications, period, to have been on the AppExchange.
But back in the days, I applied because I got laid off. I'm like, I applied for to work with Leslie Tom to be on like the partner team back then. So, so what I knew is I'm not a developer, but I'm also not an idiot. So if I can make the screens pretty and simple, then, you know, we all use products in life. Like we all know about design. So my very first hire, so I would go on to the Salesforce, it was called developer.force.com. And you had like these little, boards, you'd say, of just people posting stuff.
Oh, yes. I remember those. Yeah.
And I would find people that way. And I found a really cool developer. His name is Ryan Huff. And I flew down to San Diego, where he was at. And I was like, hey, Ryan, you know, he was working for some company. And I said, hey, would you mind helping me build Cougamon? This is what I would do. I'll lay out what all the screens should look like and what the functionality. So like, for example, when you create a quote, you need to create a PDF of the quote. Like I'll come up with a template and can you just do the help do the mapping of the data and that kind of stuff. And, and he's like, who are you? Like, I'm just a dude that got laid off. I have my own money. You know, I'll pay for you, pay for this, you know, like this will be kind of like a real company and stuff like that. And I was very fortunate and he joined and he helped build out Cougamon. I then got some other folks to join. Ryan Huff then leaves to start Cirrus Insights and so forth. So he continues on in the community because building something brand new is very fun. So once it started getting like stable and, you know, then he leaves to start his own company, which became very well known in the ecosystem. And so as he was building it to help supplement Cougamon, we were doing consulting work for a company called Job Science. So behind the scenes, we were doing consulting work for Job Science. Ted Elliott was so awesome to supporting Cougamon. And so Cougamon was profitable since day one. And so Ryan and I would do some work with Job Science. We would bill Ted. That funds and my money would help then pay for then Ryan and me to work on Cougamon. So the actual outlays of my money in Cougamon for 2029 was $17,500.
Wow.
So my Yeah. It was seven. And then we started closing deals and immediately we were profitable. I brought in new folks to help with sales and marketing, customer support, and so forth.
Well, okay. So I think a lot of listeners probably would love to hear a little bit more about how you went about hiring and how you got those early customers. So you had mentioned visiting your family in London earlier, I think, but you're based out of San Francisco today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were based out of San Francisco back then, correct?
Yes.
When you started Cougamon, were you finding early customers from your existing network, or how did you get those early beta testers and customers?
Yeah. So remember, Salesforce AEs and the community was very supportive, right? And so I was getting, first of all, leads from the App Exchange. So the lead was new. So I was getting leads from the App Exchange, also from Salesforce AEs. Because, you know, it was us, it was Steelbrick, it was Aptus, Quote to Cash. There's another a company called Chickpea. Back in the days, I actually went to Adam and I forgot his name, at Chickpea. I said, hey, I got laid off. This is what I want. And I showed them my entire plan for Cougamon. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just do it on my own. And then they built their app similar to Cougamon. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of, and so, yeah, so the Salesforce community, it was, and then, I created like this little, it's almost like a little Yahoo group. I created this email of all the other ISVs, you know, cause like we knew all each other. So I was just helping them and I was jumping the call. So like there's, and a lot of Salesforce ISVs were my customers. So like, Scott Hemeter from GeoPoint, John Jessup, now it's 1440, stuff like, so I got, and I knew a lot of the Salesforce ISVs and so forth. And even now, I give Cougamon like basically highly reduced pricing for fellow ISVs because I just want to give back to the community.
That's awesome. I know a lot of listeners are going to like to hear that.
Yeah, because what's cool about Cougamon is that we can integrate with the LMA. So if somebody buys, we can increase the quantity. If they renew, we can extend the end date. If they don't pay, you could just make it so it turns it off. So a lot of times this is all manual or kludgy with a lot of ISVs.
That's so great. So you're selling, because ISVs are given, like you said, the LMA. They're given their own partner business org to manage the licenses for their application that they're selling to Salesforce customers. But they've got their own Salesforce org too, so they could be Cougamon customers. So you could be selling to the ISVs as well as the Salesforce customers directly.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, ISVs are like the most difficult customers to sell into because they're like know-it-alls and they're like, you know what, I could do it cheaper myself. So I'm not really here to make money. I'm just here to just help them out because at the end of the day, any CPQ billing, like license management automation that an ISV has done, sucks. Like I'm providing them best in class, and where it's fully automated, everything is nice and clean. My biggest success story was Job Science. So when they implemented Cougamon, they were realizing that in the COA, when they were closing deals, they would register the deal with Salesforce, and then the finance person would register the deal with Salesforce. And then they're double registering. And then when the client
30% rev share rather than 15.
And, or when the client canceled, they were not canceling it. Or if they reduced it, they weren't reducing it. So they're doing all the news and increases, but none of the reductions and cancellation. And so they found out they were like, and then also if a client didn't pay, it wouldn't turn off the LMA. So they realized that there was like $600,000 in like money that they were overpaying and not collecting.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that paid the fee for Cougamon pretty quickly to just find all the money in the couch cushions.
Yeah. So now what I'm thinking, what I'm focusing on with Cougamon is like, we have this great opportunity with, you know, with AI and leveraging the Salesforce platform. And then also the Salesforce CPQ accounts. So I'm getting more involved with go-to-market. I didn't do a great job in the past of like, I'm just more of like a product guy. I just wanted the app to be pretty and useful and did what it did and have no errors and stuff like that. So I didn't do a good job of like marketing and so forth. But now what I found out what's helped us is YouTube videos. Mm. So we put a lot of YouTube videos. I think I'm the only ISV in the ecosystem with literally every feature of my product. There's a video. And so I have over like 300 videos. Can you imagine, like, you have a product and you have over 300 over every little feature?
That's not easy. You better be very careful about UI updates, right? Because you don't want to end up.
No, no, we're at that part. We're doing replacement videos of videos and stuff like that. And so that's helped us. And this is advice for other ISVs. You know, just go to our YouTube channel. It's Kugamon. And it helped us because it got rid of our support cases. I have hardly any support cases because what we had was we had a lot of documentation. And so I told the team, I'm like, hey, can we have a video for each documentation article? And they did. And then our support cases went from, like, I don't know, high to basically zero. I have hardly any support cases. And
that's amazing. In your space and CPQ, that's pretty wild that you don't have very many support tickets, I would say.
And then we realized it helped us naturally shorten our sales cycle. We used to do 3 to 5 demos in a sales cycle. You know, like a demo to sales folks, demo to the finance folks, maybe to management, stuff like that. Maybe to mm-hmm. to the IT staff who would ask those ridiculous questions that of scenarios that never happened. But now we don't really need to worry about all that stuff because we have so many videos. We have our demos. We're always constantly putting the latest version of our demos that our sales cycle shrunk. It used to be like, you know, weeks and months. Now we just, this 2025 was our fastest sales, 7 days. So lead to collection in 7 days. Last year, it was 11 days. So it's trending. And then now we're getting repeat customers. We're like, hey, I use Kugamon at another company. Oh, I don't need to go through the whole full demo. We'll just want to, let's just implement Kugamon.
Oh, that's the dream. You know, anytime that a customer moves, it's another opportunity for you.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. If you go on Reddit or in the community, people say that I champion YouTube a lot. So I really do. YouTube works. And then now the latest thing that I'm trying to focus on, Gil, is getting more community engagement through Dreaming event participation. So we're sponsoring more Dreaming events.
That's so cool. And what is the size of the team today of Kugamon?
We're small. So we're like 9 people.
Whoa. That is amazing how much you guys have been able to accomplish with that size team.
Yeah. I got my son here.
Oh, all right. See, the newest member of Kugamon.
he wants to join.
He's gunning for dad's job.
Yeah. So he wants to join.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Well, and maybe this is a good time to wrap up. If he sounds like you got some more important duties to take care of, cool bit. But thank you so much for coming on.
He's used to all this stuff, but yeah, I'm happy to be of help. And thank you, Scott. If any of your listeners want to get in touch, they can just, you know, check us out on Kugamon. They can email me. I'm cooldeep@kugamon.com. And I'm here to be of service.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on and we'll talk soon. Thanks, Kuldeep.
Thank you. Take care. Cheers.
Building an AppExchange business can be isolating. Are you tired of guessing what the right next move is to grow and scale? Don't go it alone. ISV Forge surrounds you with a curated group of fellow ISV founders who are on the same journey. We combine peer accountability with expert-led weekly webinars to help you overcome roadblocks and build a thriving business. Stop guessing and start scaling. Apply for the next cohort today at isvforge.com. That's isvforge.com.